Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been cool, and there's been some rain, which we appreciate out there because it gives you a reason not to do things you thought you were going to have to do, and then rain comes and you can't, and you should be grateful for that, of course. There was a full moon on Tuesday, and the last day of school was on Thursday, so it was a big day. It's not a festive time, summer, necessarily. We have to work our way into it, you know, because that's not what we're brought up for. We get into our summer clothes, and we're not pleasing in our own sight when we look at ourselves in a mirror. Sunlight, for some reason, makes us gloomy. We're northern coastal people. We're not Mediterranean people. I don't like to generalize about Lutherans, but one thing that is true of every single last one of them is that if you put them in a swimsuit and summer wear out on a beach and there was a buffet, there was a feast, and there was a steel drum band playing and people dancing and tiki torches, and it was festive, the Lutherans would find their way around to the other side of the buffet table and they would serve people. And as they did this, they would be cleaning up after people. They would not be the ones who are out there dancing. Those are the Catholics out there. And those are nobody I grew up with. Graduation was Friday at 7 p.m. It was rather cloudy, and it looked like a possibility of rain, and Mr. Halverson had to make the go or no-go decision at 3 o'clock exactly. That's the last moment you can decide, indoors or out, and he decided outdoors, remembering back to times he had made the wrong choice and years ago when he decided it would be outdoors on the football field and rain poured down in buckets, and finally they just gave up, and the poor graduates and their families ran into the high school. They were dripping wet, and these poor kids looked on this as the first calamity in a series of calamities that would now absolutely blight their lives for the rest of time. It was just a disaster, and they would wind up in prison, and the school board was very sniffy about this, and they gave him a whole set of guidelines. But there are no guidelines for the weather. You have to choose. You have to take a chance, really. And then the next 2 years, he moved things indoors, and they turned out to be sunny days. But last night he guessed right, and they were outside. It was a little windy, you know. It was a little cool, but it was no big deal. And the graduation speaker was dreadful, as they all are, without exception. Why shouldn't we speak the truth here? Because they try too hard. They try too hard to rise to the occasion, and you cannot possibly. So it should be a lesson to the young to lighten up. Just lighten up. The wonderful thing for us older guys was that it was a woman who was a dreadful speaker. So welcome to equality, huh? Welcome the equality of pomposity and pretentiousness. She's a Lake Wobegon graduate who wound up in the news business on TV, and the speech was mostly about her own life and her struggle against adversity, and not any adversity that the rest of us hadn't known in spades. And the class of 2015, they sat there, they didn't care. They were passing a bottle of rhubarb wine behind their backs. Behind their backs, and they were drinking on a long plastic tube, and when that bottle was done, there were other bottles of wine, and so they were feeling no pain whatsoever. And midway through her speech, this gust of wind came up, and it blew the rest of her speech and scattered them through the crowd, and people did their best to help her out and pick up the pages and try to collect them, but they weren't numbered or anything, and the speaker tried to continue, and then there was a voice that came over the PA. It was a girl's voice, and it said, "Oh, baby, oh, honey, oh, yes. Oh, honey, we shouldn't. It took Mr. Halverson a long time to find that cord where it was plugged in to the mixing board and he pulled it out and he looked at the class and the class looked at him. And they stared at each other for a while. Every year the graduates pull a prank, and this was one of the better ones. So they collected the pages, and the speaker tried to continue and couldn't, and it just came to an end, and they handed out the diplomas to all of them in alphabetical order, and the teachers gathered around the speaker and tried to comfort her by saying that they had never heard anything like it, and but the truth was that nobody could remember a single word that she had said. It was a self-erasing speech, like every other graduation speech that has ever been made. From that, the seniors went to the all-night lockup party. It lasted until 5 o'clock in the morning. There was dancing, and there was a big dinner, and some making out in dark corners. It was very lightly chaperoned because they are on the verge of adulthood after all. And then they came home at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they slept for a few hours, and then today, the graduation party in your parents' backyard. And in a small town, everybody knows a lot of graduates, and they have to go to the parties of all of the graduates that they know. And so you will probably get 200 guests at your graduation party, and they'll all be there to eat some of your cold cuts and chili and your frozen yogurt, and they'll drop a gift in the basket, a little check or cash or something, and then they'll look at the shrine that your mother has made out of poster board, this triptych, this three-panel board, like what they used to do for medieval saints, you know, in churches in Rome, except this one is for Brittany and Lindsay and Calvin and Melissa, and photographs from your life and your projects, the ones you actually finished, you know, and examples of your other many, many accomplishments. There was a time when mothers did not do this and construct a shrine for you on your graduation. The graduate, back in the day, thinking back, the graduate just stood there and was inspected by aunts and uncles and friends of the family, and they saw that you were good enough. And they congratulated your parents, not you. They congratulated your parents on the fact that you had reached the age of 18, you know, without being imprisoned on felony charges, you know, or having died in a car crash, or having been caught with a copy of Peyton Place or Henry. There was no shrine, you know. There were no people standing there in adoration. There was relief. That's what they felt. There was relief that you had gotten this far. And now they wanted you to get out as soon as possible and get rid of you quickly so that if you should become a degenerate, it would not be on their watch. That's how it was back in the day. There's been a raccoon invasion in Lake Wobegon. All sorts of raccoons have come, and we don't seem to be able to get rid of them. Dogs don't chase them the way they should. We think that when dogs live in Christian households for too long, they lose that urge to dash at the enemy and rip them to pieces, you know, and so these raccoons are walking into town bold as can be in broad daylight, and when you yell at them, they just look at you over their shoulders and they say, "What? Whoa, me? What's your problem?" It was Holy Trinity Sunday last Sunday at Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, and Pastor Liz preached on the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and she quoted the default verse, John 3:16, the default verse of any kid who has forgotten to memorize a verse for Sunday school, and you walk in the door and you can't remember the one you were supposed to learn, and so you recite that one: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that all who believe on him should not perish but have everlasting life." And if you are in Sunday school and two other kids have recited it ahead of you, you still recite your default verse, because it is the gospel, and you can't, you know, you can't repeat that too many times. She sort of lost her place. She walked down from the pulpit, Pastor Liz, as she often does, and she walked down, and then she forgot where she was, and she started talking about faithfulness in marriage, because she has been conducting a lot of weddings in May and even more in June, and this is her homily for the weddings. And it was odd for people to hear this. It made people uneasy, some people. Don't want to name names, but you know. We all knew who they were, and we all looked at them. It's that time of year, it's a beautiful time of year, and people are staking out their tomatoes and they're training the vines up and grilling out in the backyard. They're enjoying the outdoors in my little town there after all of the kids have graduated and are taking their eaves. And they're in a backyard on a summer evening, just like this one, under a blue sky. This young woman lies in the grass. She has blue eyes and long blonde hair. She graduated on Friday night, and now she's going away as quickly as she can get away, lying there asleep in her parents' backyard. She stayed out until 5 o'clock this morning at the all-night lockup party in the high school and danced with a boy she's been seeing for the last year and a half, who asked her if she would wear his ring because he thought that she loved him. And she said, "Well, then I don't need to wear your ring. The ring is only if you're not sure." That's her in a nutshell. She's amazing. She's confounding. There she is, lying in her parents' backyard as they're getting ready the triptych of her life and pictures going back to when she was born and her report cards from grade school and her book reports and all of it. She lies there in the grass and she is sleeping. She is sound asleep on a summer afternoon under a bright sunny sky. Her mother stands nearby, her mother worried about her sleeping on the grass. Does this mean that this girl has no sense of danger? Will she continue to do this in strange cities, sleeping outdoors? Will she become homeless? Will she accept rides from strangers? Will she accept invitations from strangers? Was she brought up with no sense of self-defense? The mother stands in agony, worrying about this, which is our job as parents. And the child sleeps an innocent sleep, which is the job of children. So off they go. Off they go. We wish them well. We have no further power over them. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, and all the children are above average.